Let's pick up our conversation then with Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, Minister of Home Affairs. This because today, publication of the final white paper dealing with issues of immigration, refugee status and related matters. Minister, I did ask you the question and you did hear it partially. South Africa is going to stick very strictly to the first safe country principle. What exactly is that? But more pertinently, I think, how will that change the way we go about dealing with refugees in South Africa?
We want to legislate the first safe country principle because it is there. It's been spoken about, but it's been contested, especially at the level of UNHCR, whether such a principle exists or not. I remember last year...
Okay, let's see if we get the minister back. Minister, one more time. Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you.
Okay, you broke up for a moment. Yes. You were saying that you want this part of legislation. You, please carry on.
You also break up time and again. I'm not sure what's happening.
Yes, let's battle on.
Yeah, I said we want to legislate this first safe country principle because it's not in the law, but it's being spoken about. And somebody once asked about us in Parliament why the first safe country principle is not applied, meaning if somebody is running away from a country which signed in the United Nations Convention of 1951, because that's the one that defines the conditions under which a person can be a refugee and an asylum seeker.
Right.
If you run to a country where such things don't happen, things like war, persecution, natural disasters, etc. If you run into a country where such things are not there, why then do you leave and go to other countries like South Africa, where the country you enter is actually safe? A good example, John, is what happened to the Afghans who were running away from the Taliban. I'm sure you remember that story. It was a big story. Okay, yes. Remember, they went to Pakistan. From there, they went to Qatar. From there, they went to Zimbabwe. From there, they went to Zambia. None of those countries are at war. None of them have any disaster. None of them are persecuting anybody for those reasons that I've just mentioned. So why didn't they apply there? But they only cross mountains and rivers and come and apply in South Africa. So if that principle is not implemented, it means one country will be overburdened.
Yes.
Or it means people who are running away will have a choice. If they see that a country is poor, they just say, no, I don't want to stay here, I'm not safe. They all move to richer countries, which is what those people who were holed up in the Central Methodist Church in Cape Town were doing.
Yes.
They went to Canada because it's richer than us and live a better life. So you can't be a refugee running away from some trouble and have a chance of choosing wealth or a wealthy country. You can only choose a safe country, that's all.
So, Minister, let's talk a little bit about citizenship. There is going to be, the paper says, first of all, the Citizenship Act and the Births and Deaths Registration Act must be repealed in their entirety. Now, is that because you're looking to create one coherent piece of legislation, or do you also intend making significant changes to what those laws say? And if so, if there are to be significant changes, what are they?
Both. It is both, John.
Yes.
Firstly, we believe asylum, refugee, citizenship, they are just one continuum. Because one day you may be a refugee, the following day you are a citizen, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But the laws governing that are in different silos, are in different acts, and sometimes not talking to each other, to an extent where they were sometimes in court, quite often in court, they contradict each other. We go to court and say, we have arrested you under the Immigration Act, and this is your offense. And when you arrive in court, they said, no, but your Refugee Act is saying something else. Why then are you arresting this person? Because why are you applying the Immigration Act? Why can't you apply the Refugee Act? Are you running away from it because it says the opposite? Now, you can't have acts of government which are supposed to govern the more or less similar area, immigration, refugee, citizenship, all contradict each other. So that's why we want to change them. But we also want to change them because we believe it must be a seamless act, different factors.
And the final area that we can cover, and it's been the subject of huge debate, the question of revising and clarifying, and in the words of the white paper, there is a need to review the current visas under the Immigration Act. Is government absolutely clear, and is the white paper absolutely clear about what the new visa regime will look like, or is this still work in progress?
Well, we've already started some changes, John, if you remember the Operation Vulindlela. Remember, while the white paper was also still being prepared, the president, in the State of the Nation address in 2022, announced that Home Affairs is going to review its visa regime, the processes and the policies, in order to facilitate investment. Remember, the president, since he came into office, he has been calling investment summit. And some of the people who pledged to invest were complaining that, look, I've pledged to invest, president, I'm unable to keep my promise in time or at all because the visa regimes are causing this and that problems. So the president then chose the former director general of Home Affairs, a veteran, Mabuso Msimang, to review the visas, and he made recommendations in two forms. The first sort of recommendations that were for is what you call process recommendations, meaning this process is lengthy here and there and is unnecessary. The other four were policy recommendations, meaning we can review policies or put in new policies that will expedite the issue of visas. So some of those, if you remember, we had already cassette the regulations, but we threw them because of technical problems. We are still going to gazette them again. But in the white paper, we're also saying, why does the country have 17 different visas? Because it's an administrative nightmare to administer seventeen. When we look at other countries, they don't have that. And when we check, we found that some visas are actually the same thing, just named differently and in different sections, like a business visa, intra-company visa, corporate visa, you know. Why can't they just be business? Because corporate and intra-company and all that are all businesses. You know? Then there is relative visa and spousal visa and all that. Why can't they just be relative visa? Yes. Those are the proposals in the white paper.
Thank you very much, Dr. Arun Motsoaledi, Home Affairs Minister. If you made input, by the way, into maybe as part of an organization, maybe part of a corporate entity, I know AgriSA made input, and there was input from small business as well around questions of foreign ownerships of small business and spaza shops in particular. If you made inputs, do you feel you were heard? And if you look at the new white paper, it came out today. Does it reflect any of your concerns, and has the needle been moved in a direction that you felt it should go? Give me a call on that if you were involved in the process in any way, or if you just feel very strongly about these issues. 072-702-1702. It's 23 minutes past 4.